Good morning, and let's go ahead and get started with the Sunday school class. We are at the end of chapter 3. We will be on 18 through 21. And remember, the focus the key verse here is rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. So Paul gets down to chapter 18, and he says, "For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping." It's very important. When a preacher, when a Sunday school teacher from the pulpit, when he is warning us with tears, because one day a pastor, a teacher will give an account for what they have said. But so he says here, he says, "I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." Remember, in chapter 1, there are those that seek, and again, Satan will give us joy here on earth. But it's temporary joy, okay? And one day it'll finish. But we seek a joy that will last for all eternity. That's a big difference. There's two groups there. Okay, and we need to be very careful. And there's those that seek the glory of God and those that seek the glory of this world. And if we were to compare the glory that Satan offers, remember he tempted Satan. What did he say? In Matthew 4, he says, "All these things will I give you if you fall down and worship me." This is what Satan is doing nowadays. If you worship me, I'll give you this, I'll give you fame, but that is temporary. And one day it'll finish. And if you compare that joy, that those pleasures of the world to eternity, there's no comparison to the joy that we will have for all eternity. But we have to be patient. We have to wait for our Lord till he comes here. So he says, thank you for those that have been praying for me. We really got hit hard this year. But thank you for your prayers. Then he says, for our conversation. Now, see, he's talking about those. It says, whose end is destruction. Why? Because one day they'll die and end in the lake of fire. This is what's going to happen to them. Whose God is their belly and whose glory is their shame, who mind again earthly things. Temporary. They don't. I don't care. You either pay now or pay later. And they'll pay later. Okay? But now it goes to 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Daryl, would you lead us in a word of prayer? Amen. As born again Christians, our joy should be the Lord. Our focus should be heaven. We should seek for eternal things, not for temporal or temporary things. Our basic foundation of our salvation when we receive Christ, this is where it starts. It started with me in 1982. Yes, I've heard that there's a God. And when I was little, I used to hear men say, the Lord is coming. And I look at them, what? And I thought that there's a man coming. And so I look, the Lord, who's the Lord? I didn't understand. Just like when you were little and you would hear, but the Lord, who is the Lord? I didn't know the Lord. And I was being sincere. Okay? And the Lord is coming. I was about 6 years old when I heard that. And then I turned to be about 12 years old. And from there, the Lord is coming. And they hear people from church, the Lord is coming. But they would say it was joy. They didn't say, well, I think the Lord's coming. They were so sure. And all those people that said the Lord is coming are now home. And then so I started growing up and I got married. The Lord is coming, I would hear. I got married. And I didn't want a family because I didn't know the Lord. But when they talked to us about the Lord, finally, when I was about 23 years old, and we moved to a little town in Winden, Arizona, and there's a man that came all the way from Phoenix. He would go 100 miles to a little town called Winden, and he would go knocking on doors. There's no pavement or nothing, just streets are made out of dirt, caliche. And I remember I saw him coming on a motor, and I saw him coming, and I said, oh, no, here comes this holy roller trying to convince me to be one of them. He's going to say that the Lord is coming like everybody, and the Lord hasn't came yet. But see, that was my mentality. This is a mentality of the world, okay? And so they invited us to church, and we go to church. And I praise the Lord because of that man, Joe and Anna. They had been walking all full of dust and he goes, hey, my friend, how are you doing? I said, I'm doing fine. I wasn't trying to be mean to him, but I just wanted him to go. And so as he was talking to me, I was answering him back, you know, but kind of wanting him to go away. Well, we'll invite you to church, my friend. And I said, we'll see. And so he started walking. It was in April. And it was hot. And they started walking, and I saw them, and I'm working, and I see them walking. Where are they going now? And they look like they've been witnessing knocking on doors. Almost nobody opened the door, and he got me because I was outside. And on Sunday, we showed up. And he comes up to me, my friend, he said, I thought you weren't coming. And so we were there. And then he said, we'll see you on Wednesday. And on Wednesday, I remember Wednesday the 11th, okay? Now, there's only one thing. I don't know if it was the 11th or the 18th. I'm pretty sure it was the 11th of 82. And he said, would you like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And I said, Joe, you don't know who I am. And I thank you for what you're, you know, telling me about the Bible, but I'm a bad person. When I get to be a little bit better, I'll come and give my life to Christ. He says, you'll never change. He's the one that can change you. And he said, he loves you just the way you are. And he's the one that's going to change you. Would you like? All of us should be excited when you accepted the Lord. I didn't deserve this, but I said, yes, I would like to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And my wife and I, they set us down and we received the Lord. And from that point on, I became a new creation, just like you and I became a new creation. Why? Because we believed. And now, instead of me or us looking for the things that we used to look in the world, what do? Now we seek for a better kingdom. It's not this world. Okay? So this is why when we believed, okay, the world will always oppose our joy and of our salvation. And like I was saying, where? If you go to 2 Peter 3:9 and read, I'm going to let you read the whole thing. This is exactly what I was saying. This is exactly what you and I would say when we were little. But they said, where is the Lord? For since we were, our forefathers have been, and the Lord hasn't come. Everything's the same. But in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come, what? To repentance. Why? I need a... Why do we need to repent? Because if we do not repent, if the world does not repent, they're on their way to hell. They're on their way to hell. It's sad, but it's true. And let me tell you that hell is hotter than the sun itself. That's how hot it is. How do I know? Because the Bible tells me so. Jesus himself tells us not to go there. And many, many, many times he has warned us not to go there. But this is the world, again. This is where we were at. This is the problem that the churches had back then. This is a problem that the churches have today. There's a struggle between the flesh. There's a struggle between the spirit. But we need to be strong. Okay, I accepted the Lord, and there's things that I should get rid of in my life. And if I try to get rid of things in my life, and I'm always after them, I'm not going to get rid. I need to get rid of them. I need to turn my face away from them and go to where people are mature. You know what? I have a good family. Now, some of them are not saved, and they invite me, but you know what? I'd rather be in God's house with God's people than with my own family. And I'm not trying to be mean, but there's a big difference when you have the family of God. There's a big difference, okay? So, in 1 John 4, 5, and 6, again, speaking of the world, the pleasures of the world. And there's a pleasure, a difference between God's people and the people of the world. They are of the world. 1 John 4, 5, and 6 says, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. And the world hears them. Yes, because they're of the world. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Whereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There's a big difference right there. And Titus says, again, this is what Paul would say, be very careful. Because they come to you as sheep. Remember, Paul had warned them, the dogs are of outside. And then he said, be careful of the dogs that come in sheep's clothing. Okay? And so yes, we need to be careful. Not all scared, but no, we know. We know sometimes God gives us discernment of something is wrong here. And when we smell smoke, be very careful, he says, because where there's smoke, there is a fire. Okay? And Titus says, Titus 1:16 says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable or unpleasant. And disobedient, and unto every good work reprobates. Have you ever been with a person, they say they're Christian, but you try to talk to them about God and something? I enjoy when people, yeah, we talk about football, baseball, whatever, but, you know, our focus should come back to Christ. Our joy should be Christ. And if the world does not see the joy of Christ in us, I am waiting. You know what? I don't care if I am sleeping, if I am outside. I don't care if I'm doing something. When the Lord comes, he's coming for you and for me. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain, we shall be caught up and be with the Lord, and forever will be there. I wait for that Lord, for that day. And if the world does not see that joy in us, something is wrong. Okay? But he's warning us there. Because Christ says, Christ himself, this is Christ warning us, says in Matthew 7:21, Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Okay? What is the will of the Lord for us? First of all, that we repent from our sins. That's the first thing. And then once we acknowledge, because, okay, I repented. I say, Lord, okay, I know I'm a sinner, but what do I do? I need to ask you to forgive me. So, Lord, forgive me of my sins. And come. This is a prayer that I made. This is a prayer that all of us made. I come to you. I am weak, but you are strong, and I ask that you cleanse me. And when I ask him to, I ask him to forgive us, when we ask him to forgive us, guess what he did? He took our sins, he buried them when he died, and then he rose. And when he rose, we rose in a new creation with Christ. And so now we walk. We walk in Christ. I think if somebody wants to read, I think it's Galatians 2:20 or 2:21. Somebody that has it. Galatians. If you can find it, because anybody found it yet? Galatians 2? 2:20 or 21? Go ahead. Go ahead. There, that one. Amen. Yes, that one. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. See, when I rose now in Christ, okay? Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay? So there should be a difference in our lives. This is what Paul was trying to tell the Corinthians. Yes, that joy that is in you, and now 10 years had gone by, and the church was still active. The church loved Paul, and the church, that's one thing. You know what? They loved each other. They cared for each other. You know what I love about this church, and God is my witness, the love that we have for each other here. There's something that when people come, this is what attracted me to this church. The love, not the cars that you drive, the love that you show just by a handshake. And you know what? And this is where we are going to go in chapter 4. We will be talking about loving your co-laborers, loving your co-workers in the church. See, yeah, and see how nice Paul is doing it. He's taking all the dogs when we walk out there. Be very careful. It's Christians out there. And then he says, but be very careful also in the church that you don't let poison come in and poison you. Okay? But then now he comes and he comforts and let us have that joy within us that we should be the light of the world to Harvest Baptist Church around us. And it starts with us. Thank you, Pastor, for your text that you'd be praying for me. And immediately, they didn't see me Wednesday. I was down and out. And Pastor said, we'll be praying for you. And I thank God for that. And I just thank people that pray for me. And when I say I'm going, please don't say that you're going to pray for somebody if you're not going to pray for somebody. Pat and I have made it a habit of even when we're driving, we see an accident. I say, babe, would you like to pray for that, for the police officers, because they're doing their duty and they can get run over. I said, Pat, go ahead and pray for them as I'm driving. And we'll pray for the people that were in the accident, the ambulance driver. And in the name of Jesus, he says, amen. And I said, can I open my eyes now? No. No. But we pray. When somebody tells me or they text that somebody's sick, me and Pat, whatever we're doing, say, okay, let's stop. And we pray for that person right there and then. You know why? Because a lot of times you say, I'll pray for them later. You'll forget. And that person needs that prayer. And I know that somebody's been praying. Me, my wife, and those that were down under the weather, Yes, we have to write it out, but you know what? Prayer makes all the difference. I believe in prayer. And so this is what now Paul, he's taking all the garbage from outside, from inside, and now he comes and he embraces the church that he loves so much, the church that loved him so much, the church that loves their pastor, the pastor that loves their church. And this is where he's going to go into, where he goes now, and he says, let's go to Philippians. Remember, Paul had been telling them about the joy of suffering. Sometimes we're going to suffer for Christ. It's going to cost. And then the joy in serving the Lord. And then the joy in believing. That was on chapter 3. And now we're going into chapter 4. Joy in giving. Giving of our time, of our money, of our strength to each other. And Paul now says, yes, I've got all rid of all the garbage, but now I want to focus on you that are my crown and my joy. And this is where we'll be going to next week. So thank you. I don't know if I'll be staying for the rest of the service. I am being drained by now, but I thank God that he gave me the strength to be here this morning. Thank you for your prayers. And we'll be praying next week now in the church. There's some of us that are kind of grumpy. Some of us are talk too much. Some of us are a little bit hard-headed. Okay? And so the pastor has to talk to them a little bit harder. Yes. You know what I like about Pastor Cook? He might be new to our church, but he's no novice. So you jump the track and he'll put you back in line. That's his job. Okay? It's not about, oh, that's okay. No, it's not okay. And he will not put up with that. And I thank Pastor for that. Thank you. For you and Michelle, because all that experience that the Lord has allowed you to have in your Christian life, you have taken it, and it has been a blessing. When I see him talking about the military, about when he was a kid, whatever, it all works for good, for the honor and glory of God. And this is what it's going to be going into chapter 4. So let's go ahead and pray. And with this, I'll finish. Thank you. Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of chapter, Philippians chapter 3, we give you the honor and glory. Thank you for how Paul narrows it down to what he's trying to say and makes it clear, Lord. There are dogs outside of the church. There are dogs in cheap clothing that come in the church. And there are those that will seek for temporary things, but their end will be hell, Lord. And this is why I do not want to see anyone. You say that you are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, Lord, because there'll come a day when you'll be here and we'll be ready when you come, Father. So, Father, now you prepare us now. Yes, all that, but, Father, now the joy of serving with your people in the local church. Father, be with us. Be with Pastor. All this day, be with those that will be in the choir, taking a part. be with our visitors, our family members that have came from out of town and some that are still out of town. Be with our family members that are under the weather, Lord. Be with those that will be here for the first time. And for those, Lord, that will be here with a hardened heart, may the Holy Spirit be the one that softens their heart. And may, if there anybody that does not know you this morning, may today be the Lord, the day of salvation. Thank you for what you did with this church, with us throughout the year 2023, Lord. And we'll give you the honor and glory. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Thank you.